What is up, everybody? Welcome to the 0 Hour Podcast, where we help you and your ministries navigate the biggest youth ministry shift in American history. I got my guy, Jose here. Is your last name, is it Rodriguez?
Yeah, Rodriguez.
Okay. But I just know you as Death by...
Death by AO.
Let's go. Death by AO.
I get a lot of... I get criticized for the name.
Why?
In the beginning.
Because death part.
The death part.
Like now you're with Christian organizations. I'm a Christian.
Exactly that. So, I mean, I did a poll. I was like, should I switch it to Reborn AO? And that's like my second Instagram name.
Yeah.
And Reborn came from, well, it's Death by the AO.
Yeah.
So what about the Reborn of AO?
Right. Come on.
It came more Christian-like.
Yeah.
But everybody in the poll was like, just keep death.
Resurrected AO.
Yeah.
Like, you start getting like real Christian-y with it.
And I feel like it was going to be horrible too when it came to commercial work.
Yeah.
Because like people would be like, death, like what?
Yeah.
But no, it's been pretty good.
So. Interesting. Well, cool. That started because you were doing some DJ stuff, right?
Yeah. I used to DJ back in high school. But I got really bored and I didn't want to do, so it would be like more Christian music mixes. Yeah. So I didn't want to do no Sweet 15s and Sweet 16s. Like,
I think
at one point there was a club hiring DJs, but I was underage. But I was like tempted to reach out and be like, hey, I'll DJ.
Uh-huh.
But my goal was just to put Christian hip hop.
Okay.
And see how people reacted. But I never got the courage, so I never did it.
Oh, man. Well, dude, this, like, we were chatting, and Jose's crazy talented photo, video, and creation of all kinds of things, and I got connected just through Kairos stuff, right? Yeah?
It was through Vanessa, actually, first
one. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She texted me. She's like, hey, someone from 0 Hour is going to hit you up.
Yeah.
They want a video for commission night.
Yeah.
And I was like, sweet. So I was like, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So he came out, did an awesome video for us during that. And yeah, we've just been collaborating, working together on stuff. And so, you know, we figured we'd come on and do a little bit of a, I don't know if it's an explainer or a teaser or just kind of like a, here's what we're trying to do. And one of the newest things that we kind of have just released is doing a 0 Hour camp.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew whenever you do something new like this, it's like there's gotta be a way to tell people, you know? So there's some storytelling elements that have to go on and some hype and all that. But, you know, we're particular because as a ministry, we're not trying to be just events based, you know, trying to really help students live out their faith on their high school campuses and make disciples. So, you know, I think we're going to switch roles here a little bit and just kind of let you interview me for the camp, just so. And you've had your own podcast. What was that called?
That was called, everybody loved the name. I did another poll. No, it was actually called Don't Show My Therapist.
Death by Podcast.
So, no, no I wouldn't do that one. No. I did.
Say it again.
Don't Show My Therapist.
That's hilarious.
So like. The main subject, I had friends that told me that I should have been more centered on questions.
Yeah.
But my first idea was just to talk.
Yeah.
Like, let it all out.
Yep.
Like, whatever it is. And the main point was, like, don't show my therapist because you don't want your therapist to find out what you're really doing.
Yeah.
But that was the main purpose of that podcast.
So it was just kind of like a ongoing talk, brain dump kind of thing.
Yeah, with like friends.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I've been trying to bring it back, but I've been moving with my parents and I are about to move to another house.
Okay.
So I didn't have a chance to set up where I'm at right now. So,
yeah.
But I really wanted to bring it back.
Yeah. Dude, I'm like considering trying to make a little podcast room at my house right now.
So you might as well.
Might as well.
So
we've got this like, so we have a 3-car garage. We're in Bonner Springs, so we're when and where and how we got our house was like a great deal kind of thing. And it has like this insulated little closet room. It's like the size of this room, except for it's like way more narrow. So if you cut it off from the doorway here over, you know, I know this is horrible podcasting because you can't see anything, but it's a tiny little closet basically that I could insulate pretty well and actually pull something off. So. But then it's just like just me And
yeah. Oh, are you going to hear the chair?
Yeah. Oh, it's all good, man.
So,
yeah. So,
what questions do I have?
Hit me with it, man.
So, why the camp?
Mm. Yeah, so when we started in 2020, you know, our the heart behind everything we're doing was going, we're done seeing the same old thing, you know, in a way around youth ministry, and we really long a desire to see students really be activated on their high school campuses. When I say activated, I mean like continuously abiding in word and prayer, consistently sharing their faith with friends around them in a way that is like not judgmental, not awkward, cold evangelism style, but like actually coming alongside, being relational and loving people exactly where they're at and offering them the gospel that does save lives. So like being activated into living that way and seeing that multiply over and over and over again, and giving a place and a space for the students that are serious about their faith to live into real rhythms of obedience and multiplying their lives everywhere they go. So that was the original heart, right? So when I started, it was like, okay, let's do this. Let's do a trip that we get away and we unplug from a lot of things, and we really dive into training, okay? We did it the first summer. We had 10 kids. Went great. Recognized a lot of things we could do better. That was all we were doing at the time, right, with the trips. So then we did it again this last summer, and it went better. We found some really powerful things that worked, some ways to help students live into some rhythms that would actually like stick on the ground back when they come home, you know. But I've always recognized with students and youth that they're all about the mountaintop moment. I mean, I think humans are in general. I just think your ability to do that as an adult is lessened because of responsibility and time and kids and jobs and you name it, right?
Yeah.
So many things are happening. But with kids, there's always this ability. They do have time. I know right now they would tell you otherwise, but they do have time to actually commit a weekend, a week to something that is super powerful. And all the years that I was a youth pastor, you know, we would always ask kids by their senior year, like, what was the most powerful thing in your 6-7 years of being in this youth group, right? And I mean, I would say it's like upwards of 95% of them would respond saying my trip to ... or my camp experience or whatever, right? Even if it was local and cheap and free, it was like something that was out of the norm that got them away from the normal routines of what they're used to. And God just would do work in that time. When we would unplug and actually focus in on him, it was like all of a sudden you could tune in to what it is he was trying to say to you. And kids were hearing stuff, right? So but what I always recognized from those things with the students was they would come back and completely forget about that the rest mm-hmm. of the semester.
Yeah.
And I was going, we've got a gap. We've got a problem going on with the way that we create these really big, expensive financial things that are about an experience that then when they come back has nothing to do with reality, right? And so that made me really think through the lens of, well, what are we doing on that time, you know, and how do we make sure that that training relates to what they would go and do back in their schools? So everything we do when we train them is really about what would this look like actually walking through your halls, right? Not like some, and I'm all for the hype events and where it's like much more about the experience where it's like kids who don't follow Jesus at all come on this experience and then wow, hear the gospel for the first time and they're moved. Like, I think there's definitely room for that. But we were trying to go, how do we help the kids who are serious on these trips implement back home? So two trips happen. I think we did learn that there's power in that in and of itself. But I think our largest desire was to have more students get trained because, you know, our vision is to go, we want to see a student-led, you know, disciple-making expression on every single high school campus in a 30-mile radius of Kansas City, which is somewhere upwards of 100 high schools. That's a lot. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That means you've got to train a lot of kids.
A lot.
You got to train a lot of them. And you got to have a lot of good relationships with the church at large to be unified and not get hung up on small nuances, but like actually be about, you know, this the Great Commission, right? Really be about that and help other students live into that. So the camp was really, you know, came out of our desire to make something super cheap, close enough that really gets you away from things, but also isn't a hindrance towards more students coming and getting trained. And we decided to do it over like Martin Luther King weekend, which most youth ministries don't have things going on during that January winter time frame. So really, man, I mean, our goal and desire is that there would be, you know, it would give opportunity to a lot of students that are really hungry for Jesus to move on their high school campuses, to come, get trained, and really activated, released back onto their high school campuses to see God do some miraculous things on every single high school campus in the area. So that was the why. You know, it's a long answer, yeah. But like it's really birthed out of this desire to go, like, you know, students, I've had many students say through our training, I've been told all my life that I should go and make disciples, but nobody has ever shown me how. Until this training.
Yeah.
You're actually giving me the tangible details of how would I go out and do this, not just have it be these ancient words that I've read, but become real life when I'm walking through the hallways, when I'm playing volleyball, when I'm on, you know, in the musical for the theater department at my high school. Like, how would I do that in those contexts?
Yeah.
Not many people are spelling that reality out for them. And that was our, you know, that's our goal. That's our desire.
Yeah. Like how you said, how some kids' best experience throughout, you know, youth ministry, they always point out, oh, camp was cool.
Yeah.
So I went to lots of camps growing up.
Right.
And like there's one camp growing up that I remember that I loved. Mm-hmm. And we had a guest speaker named Hugo Martinez.
Come on.
This guy was crazy. Like, like he knew the Bible and he was telling us this and that. That stuck to me a lot.
Mm.
So that's one of them. The second one would be after high school. Went to this man's camping retreat.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we do release this, anyone that's listening, the guys, Legendarios, they know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, they would know that's life changing. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's more disciple based as well.
Yeah.
But they really focus on character.
Hmm.
Like, they test your character. And they test it where, when I went and I came back, there was people telling me, did you go because you weren't strong in your faith? Or did you go because you're a new believer? Or, you know, this and that. They were criticizing it.
Hmm.
There was people that are saying, oh, I don't need to go because I can read the Bible and learn from there. Right? Mm-hmm. And, like, my response to them was, it's not for the new believer. It's not for the person that's already in church for 5 years. It's for the person that wants to test and live what the Bible has been teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when we got to the campsite, I got invited by a really close friend of mine called Luis. He told me, he hyped me up for the camp.
Yeah.
He's like, it's going to be sweet, this and that. And it was sweet and this and that. But they teach me in that camp that after that, the camp is not to be remembered. It's to be learned from,
because
they said at camp, they're like, yes, people, there's grown men crying, there's kids, you know, crying, all this, but they told us, and it stuck to me that the camp wasn't meant to be remembered in a way of, oh, that this camp was dope.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a, when you go back home, it's when you start applying everything you learned at camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
So it was like my character changed. Like I was, before, like, it was when I went when I was 17, so beforehand, I was more reckless, more loud, more talk back to my parents. And after this, and keep in mind, I went to a bunch of youth retreats.
Right.
Right.
But you'd already done a bunch, yeah.
Yeah, like, that they didn't work for me.
Uh-huh.
But when I went to this camp, they teach more based off character. Yeah. And that character makes you more of a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So after the camp, my mom, a few months in, she told me there's a big change in me.
Wow.
That I didn't even recognize. I feel like I knew I wasn't the old me, but I feel like I was just doing everything much better.
Yeah.
Right. And that helped me be a better leader as well. You know.
Yeah, that's huge.
You know, at that camp retreat, to be a disciple, you have to serve
mm-hmm.
rather than just lead. Yeah. Right. Serve first.
Mm-hmm.
Lead second.
Yeah.
That was like my mindset. So when I had
some students, Jesus's way up was actually down.
Oh yeah.
He furthered himself into humility.
Yeah.
He did not exalt. you know, he goes lower than anybody else can go.
Yeah.
And that was the exact way he gets exalted.
Exactly that. There was students at my old church that I used to lead, and they would get mad at me when I used to tell them, we got to pick up the trash. And they would be like, why? We're running cameras. We're not picking up trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if you want to lead, mm-hmm. you have to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, even if the other kid from somewhere else did the mess, we're like, let's be an example. Let's serve our church by picking it up.
Yep.
And then we can grab our cameras and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
There was this production leader. He's at Transformation Church right now, but he was at Bethel. One of his biggest things that he said was, what was it? Worship first, capture second. I think it was something like that.
That's good, yeah.
So it's like that's something I try to put in their heads too. And, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things I learned growing up.
Yeah.
Speaking life into people.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a huge part of what we do on those trips too.
Yeah, like when you were explaining me the trips and the why of why the camp, you know, my next question that came to my head as well was, who can go to these camps?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good question. Before we jump to that too, I want to highlight a piece on, like, you were mentioning a lot of things about, like, don't forget the, you know, actually don't remember the camp
mm-hmm.
itself. Like, this is only the starting point of what we
are. A springboard.
Yes. Boom. Which you even asked me before.
Yeah.
You know, you came in here like, what is the name Zero Hour? And I get asked that all the time because it's very cryptic, right?
Yeah.
Which was somewhat intentional, but it's actually a military term that means a pivotal moment in time where a plan moves forward. And we really see ourselves as that. So that's why we do the training over and over again to people. We're actually like, we're not just going to switch it up.
Yeah.
Like, this should be, you get trained and you go do.
Yeah.
And you go be. And you go live, and you go live into rhythms of servanthood and humility and loving so that you have open doors to share the gospel. But, like, you know, and I always look back to it, remember, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus takes them up, right, his key few. And he says, well, they have this crazy experience, right, when literally it's Moses and Elijah, right, they show up, and they're blown away. Jesus basically like is revealing himself to them. And it's this literal and figurative mountaintop experience where it's like, imagine being on top of that mountain. Imagine being one of those three and seeing that reality before your eyes. Like, you could never think anything else ever again. Like, that is everything. That changes everything.
Yeah.
If any of us saw that change. If one high school in Kansas City sees the transfiguration happen, it's changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
You will still have some kids that would doubt, right? I mean, Jesus says that. But most of them would be to their core shook and would be changed forever from that moment. Okay, and then what do the three do? They want to build monuments on top.
Yeah.
They want to build shelters because they go, it's so good for us to be here, Lord. And I just go, that is such like us as human beings. We want to stay in that moment.
Yeah.
We want to be there forever in the mountaintop. And we just want to carry on from mountaintop to mountaintop, even though we all know life is filled with valleys
mm-hmm.
over and over again. Many valleys, right? The mountaintops get further between the valleys. It feels like the older you get too, right? And so it's like, but then what happens? Jesus says, no. And they come off the mountain. And immediately the story that happens, there is a demon-possessed boy that his father is bringing to Jesus' feet in that moment. And heals him because of his faith, right? Mm-hmm. Like crazy, another miraculous moment after they come off the mountain into the valley, back into the real world. And I go, I really believe that, I felt like God highlighted that to me not very long ago of going, hey, the reality is Jesus still utilized the mountaintop moments, but they were always unto mission. They were always unto something else and the gospel moving further along. It was never these momentary things where he would always sit down with them and say, hey, remember back at the Mount of Transfiguration when da-da-da-da-da? You don't ever hear them retell that story. You just hear that one time.
Yeah.
But it holds so much power because the missional piece moving forward was everything that Jesus was trying to help them implement. It was a way of living, not an experience to have had and forgotten. Right, and that's a huge differentiator.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really trying to chase after with these camps, right? So now I've already forgotten your question, but you were asking me who can go.
Yeah, who can go?
Yeah, so, and I would just say, you know, it's anybody can go. I like truly believe that. Anyone in the world can go because this is about you truly living into your identity as a follower of Jesus, becoming a disciple maker. The Holy Spirit was given to be this missional piece of the triune God, you know, where God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, where if God's the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit is absolutely this missional identity that he plants within us, right? And if you are hungry as a student to see others around you come to know Jesus, if you are hungry to see your school change, to see depression ended, anxiety, you know, completely canceled, suicide never happening again, bullying being completely gone from your school, and people living with an identity that is rooted in Jesus, and you're hungry for that, that's who we're looking for. And I know that's not going to be every single kid that exists in every single youth group. That's just not the truth, right? There are going to be kids who really do exist inside of those youth groups that are hungry for that and are yearning to know and understand what it would look like to live missionally onto their high school campuses. So I say it's for everybody.
Yeah.
As long as there's that hunger.
Yeah.
Right? And God will do anything with a hungry person who is desperate to see him move on their campus.
Yeah. So, like, I can imagine kids asking themselves, like, I already know how to make disciples. Like,
yeah,
do I still have to go to this camp?
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to learn in reality? Like I have three friends of mine already, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're probably asking themselves this question. Like, do I have to go? Like,
yeah,
like I believe we have students that are going that mm-hmm. are already done the training, right?
Yeah.
So we did a video with them already.
Yeah.
And they answered questions.
Right.
On why they should, like, why other students should go, right?
Uh-huh.
So even if you're trained, do you believe they should still go?
Yeah, because I would say, like, our greatest desire is this both and. I think you see the way that Jesus leads his ministry is that there's this reality of they are fully missional in the harvest amongst those who do not follow Jesus, but they're also helping other young leaders. You see that as Paul's example, right? Paul is pretty consistently out on mission, like literally trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. He goes to one place and the Holy Spirit says, like, literally prevents them from going. And then he says he goes to another place, has this vision of a man by water, right? And then it ends up being Lydia, saves the whole household. And then, like, a movement kind of happens in that little area. But you also see Paul circling back with individuals like Timothy. And you see him pouring into that younger next generation who are going to come up and be in those places where he may not always be. And I think that's a beautiful example of what, you know, for instance, like Elijah, who's a senior at Olathe North. Yeah, he's been through our training and it's really helped him live on mission. But he also recognizes, hey, there are going to be, I'm leaving. Like, I got like 6 months left, right? And I want to make an impact in my school.
Yeah.
And part of that is going to be both from those who do not yet follow Jesus at all, and also those who do follow Jesus, and they're just trying to navigate what it even looks like to be a high school kid. And when you're that senior or junior that can pull a freshman, sophomore into the circle and help them go, like, I'm telling you, this is what changed my life. Understanding to live into my missional identity and calling is what really activated my relationship with Jesus to actually be real. Like, it stopped being this, like, thing on text or place to play games on a Wednesday night or where my parents dropped me off just so they could have babysitting night. Yeah. You know? Like, it actually became real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw stuff move and I saw God move. And it was because I stepped out into some rhythms of obedience being missional.
Yeah. when you were talking about Elijah,
yeah,
how you said he wants to leave an impact in school.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of thinking time when I drive, and there was one time where I was worshiping, and the first thing came to my mind, because like at that time I was hearing a lot of Gen Z, this and that,
mm-hmm.
and I was like just meditating, and that's when God spoke to me and said, you know, there's a lot of people hyping Gen Z, like they're the movement, they're the difference.
Yes.
And I was saying, Gen Z is that movement, but to lead the next generation.
Gen Alpha,
that.
Yeah.
Gen Z is the one that's going to make the difference between this generation and the next one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know there's going to be students caught up on, oh, my Gen Z, it's the best thing ever. But like you said, their job is to leave an impact for the next generation.
Amen.
Right? Because like the generation before Gen Z, they left an impact where Gen Z mm-hmm. was fired, but now you have to enlighten the other ones. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I love about Gen Z is that ever since I got to Hope Chapel, like it was a whole world, right? Where I saw like these students go crazy for God.
Mm-hmm.
Like I seen it in my old church, because I come from a Hispanic church
mm-hmm.
as well. But then like the difference between Hispanic and more like where I went, more English based church
mm-hmm.
was that the community,
hmm.
right? Churches connecting with other students.
Yeah.
Based off school. Because, like, on Olathe, you have kids going to Hope or other churches,
yeah.
New Life, but they all have the same goal,
mm-hmm.
right? And then when, like, Encounter House, like, I had no idea who Encounter House was
yeah.
until. I actually learned who Encounter House was after Zero Hour.
Hmm.
So when Vanessa told me about Zero Hour, I followed you. And then on Instagram, when they tell you, oh, follow these people as well.
Yeah.
That's where Encounter House was.
Yeah.
But then I also saw that Vanessa would share them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
well, she
what's
is
Encounter House?
Encounter House.
Yeah, yeah, she is. And I found out she is. And I was like, it's like a whole network.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're in KC Underground right now, but it's like a whole yeah. network underground
yeah.
of churches. Like, just like motivating each other, like,
yeah,
hey, we
yeah.
have to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I think gone, or well, I can speak on some of what I think this generation, the next, is hungry for. I think they are way less interested in the tribalized, I go to this thing or that thing, and that's the only thing I go to. I think they're way more hungry for unity
yeah.
from multiple campuses and the whole body of God. And I think part of that's out of hunger of, like, they're alone. You know, like when they are a high school student in a public high school right now, they're representing, and they're a believer, like, and genuinely follow Jesus, a disciple, like, they're probably less than 1% of their whole school.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reality now. Yeah. That is a significant change, even from my generation to theirs. Like, yeah. a significant change. You're probably talking about, 20%+ change. From one generation to the next.
Yeah.
And I think out of that desperation of like being so alone, they're just hungry to find others around them that are even doing this thing, like that are taking it seriously at any capacity, man. And I think that is going to be more and more the trend.
Yeah.
That we're going to see, hey, we got to rally together
mm-hmm.
because whatever's going on is we're, you know, completely the minority in a lot of ways, you
yeah.
know? And so I think it's going to be cool that way. But I also think what you said about making sure that it doesn't become this enclosed little huddle,
yeah.
you know, is important because yeah. we can kind of seclude ourselves into our own little groups and think, you know, like, as long as we got each other, we'll make it through kind of thing. It's like, okay, yeah. well, Jesus did not call us into this fear and timidity to kind of hide in huddles and just do little things in the corner.
Yep.
Like, he was very, very clear on asking the disciples to go out.
Yeah.
But they do have times where they're huddling in the upper room,
yeah.
right? But it's not just the upper room. It's yeah. the upper room plus,
yeah.
you know, being missional. It right. can't be one without the other. And it can't just be missional without the upper room.
Yeah.
Both ways. Like, you've got to have a serious dependence on the Spirit to move if you're going to go out and be missional. Because if you don't, you're going to be striving and trying to convince people to follow Jesus when he's not asking us to do that.
Yeah.
He's asking us to show them a gospel that is giving life and changes their lives forever.
Yeah. So to finish it up.
Yeah.
My last question, or statement would be, I guess it is a question. How many students can go?
Yeah.
Because right? I know there's like a limit.
Yeah.
You know.
So the limit of the campsite is 200, and even more details on it. It's called God's Mountain, yeah. which is a hilarious, well, an awesome name and hilarious all at the same time. It's like, oh, this is God's Mountain in the middle of Kansas, right? Like what?
Yeah.
But January 13th through the 16th are the dates. So it'll be like a Friday night kickoff, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, half day on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. And there'll be, we're going to go to Snow Creek Mountain, do some snow tubing, snowboarding. There'll be some fun elements, but really it's going to be a deep dive.
Yeah.
And it'll be a fully student-led worship band, like 10 students, and it's going to be killer worship and prayer stuff. And yeah, we're hyped to partner with Kairos Student yeah. Ministries and have Kyle come out and do some teaching stuff. And any students that join us from that, man, it's, we're excited. I am believing, you know, and some cool stuff. And I even shared with some of the students
yeah.
in the video, just a prophetic moment for me 2 years ago where I had this pretty clear vision on the side of a mountain
yeah.
where God was, you know, a character, I'll just say, was pointing to like this absolutely soaked pile of wood,
yeah.
basically saying, start it. And he keeps pointing. And I'm like, I can't do that. Yeah. How do you want me to do that?
Yeah.
You know? And at the end of it, it was just kind of both this momentary realization, but also truth of like, I can't do that, but you can.
Yeah.
And believing it, you know, even when you and I walked the campground that, you know, whatever, however many weeks ago, it felt very full circle for me.
Yeah.
It felt like God was saying, I'm going to light a fire
yeah.
on this campground, January 13th through the 16th, for students to be changed forever. But not just to be on top of the mountain, but that they will be changed forever in the valley.
Yeah.
That the valley will be set ablaze and that God will move in power through these high schools. And we'll see a whole new wave and crop of students come to know him in powerful ways.
Yeah, so only 200 spots for that camp.
200.
200.
That's all you asked, but I gave you all of it.
No, that's perfect. 200.
Yeah.
So if students that can't make it, like they should like, push it.
Yeah.
So like friends, like,
yeah, man.
You know, your youth group.
Yeah.
I know there's going to be youth pastors saying, oh, you're going to take my students, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest worry from some churches.
Yeah.
But, you know, keep in mind, this is just to train them.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I'll say something on that. Like, if you are a youth, excuse me, if you're a youth pastor listening, like, we don't have a desire to recreate another youth group. We don't want to do that. We are a training organization and engine to help students live missionally on their campus. And we believe that you're already doing a beautiful job as their shepherds. You're already living into rhythms of community and worship, and we're just trying to help them get almost like an outside booster shot of living yeah. missionally, you know. And so we don't have any desire to steal away, you know. They're all God's in general.
Yeah.
But I know the sentiment, right? Like if
yeah.
you're a youth pastor. And so I you know, we want to partner with yeah. local youth groups, youth pastors, and key student leaders in every, you know, youth group around the city, because we know that's the only way forward is unity as well from our end.
Correct. Yeah. Love it. So that's a wrap.